Radio Daily for the incredibly cold, crazy Anti-Friday. So
probably hard if you're coming back from MarsCon.
Yeah. And if you came back from MarsCon and decided to stay up for the Super Blood Wolf Devil Moon thing. I forget what it was called last night.
Something.
But, crazy. It looked fantastic in the shivering, frigid cold. Good look. Welcome to the 21st of January. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and places of that nature. The folks who are bringing it to you today, well, the ladies are ready to start off our week tomorrow. Getting back to all the crazy people.
Yep. Thank you, Martin Luther King.
What are you doing here, you little freak?
Ah, we'll come back to work tomorrow. That's hey, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
It's starting to smell a little like danger in here. Or heavily fried food.
Either way, something's got to be done. What happened today, yo?
Well, in 1789, the first American novel, The Power of Sympathy, or The Triumph of Nature, Founded in Truth. They really didn't know how to, like, keep their titles concise. By William Hill Brown, is published in Boston, Massachusetts by Isaiah Thomas.
1888, Charles Babbage's
son. Not that Isaiah Thomas.
Not that one. 1888, Charles Babbage's son, Henry Provost Babbage, uses the mill portion of the
engine
he constructed from his father's drawings to complete multiples of pi in order to prove that the design is functional.
In 1942, New York Mayor Fiorelli Henry LaGuardia bans pinball games in New York City, comparing them to slot machines and labeling them games of chance. He'd have thousands of machines busted up and dumped in the ocean, over 7,000 pounds of scrap material from the games, including 3,000 pounds of steel balls. Wow. And the ban continued all the way until 1976.
Indeed. 1954, the first atomic submarine, the USS Nautilus, is christened by First Lady Mamie Eisenhower and launched on the Thames River in Groton, Connecticut.
In 1957, NBC records and later broadcasts the second inaugural ceremonies of U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower. It is the first national broadcast of a previously recorded event.
1979, Neptune becomes the outermost planet when the elliptical orbit of Pluto brings it closer to the sun than Neptune's own orbit we realized that Pluto wasn't a planet.
In 1985, the January 21st issue of the U.S. News and World Report features a story entitled Consumer Electronics, Smaller, Cheaper, Better. In this story, it's reported that the Atari ST computers represent a quantum leap in computer value.
And next, we'll try to find the way home. 1999, Eric Hasseltine, the Senior Vice President of Research and Development at Walt Disney Imagineering, demonstrates Monty, a computer-generated character that moves its lips in sync with dialogue, entered into a laptop computer. That's the brainchild of Fluent Speech Technologies in Beaverton, Oregon.
In 2001, Artisan Entertainment releases the documentary Startup.com, and it is about the dot-com startup phenomenon. By following GovWorks.com's founders Khalil Tuzman and Tom Herman through the bursting of the internet bubble.
2004, the NASA Mars Exploration Rover, AMERA, loses contact with Mission Control due to malfunction in the probe's flash memory management, which will be repaired from Earth on February 6th. You can fix all of our rocket ships. Birthdays?
Jackson Brundage is 18 from One Tree Hill, Sea Dad Run, and Harvey Beaks.
Gerald William Jerry Trainer is 42 from Drake and Josh, iCarly, and Tough Puppy, that's T-U-F-F.
Oren Pelly is 49. Brought forth the Paranormal Activity and Insidious franchises.
Kitten Lewing is 49 from Welcome to the Dollhouse, AI, Red Dragon, Force Awakens, X-Men, The Last Stand, and Inhumans.
Charlotte Ross is 49. She's Eve on Days of Our Lives, NYPD Blue, Drive Angry, and Felicity's Mom on Arrow.
Gina Davis is 62 from Tootsie, Fletch, Transylvania 6 5000, Thumb and Louise, Long Kiss, Goodnight, Stuart Little, The Exorcist, tons of things.
That's the TV
show, The Exorcist.
Robbie Benson is 63 from Ode to Billy Joe, Beauty and the Beast, and Exo Squad.
Paul Allen is 66, co-founded Microsoft and the founder of the Allen Institute for Brain Science, Institute for Artificial Intelligence, Institute for Cell Science, Stratoland Systems, Apex Learning, and is a good friend of Patrick Bateman.
Jill Eikenberry is 72 from Butch and Sundance, The Early Days, Arthur, The Manhattan Project, Hill Street Blues, and L.A. Law.
No longer with us, born this date in 1922, Telly Savalas from Cape Fear, The Dirty Dozen, On Her Majesty's Secret Service, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, Kojak, Cannonball Run 2, GoBots, Wow. Battle of the Rock Lords.
Born in 1924, Benny Hill, English actor, singer, and screenwriter.
1926, Steve Reeves, an American bodybilder, Hercules, and many other sword and sandal flicks, and turned down the role of James Bond for Dr.
Wow. Nell. Born in 1938, Wolfman Jack, American radio host, American Graffiti, Motel Hell, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, and was himself in an episode of Galactica 80. and Wolf Rock TV.
What a fun cartoon. 1965, Jam Master Jay, an American DJ, rapper, and producer. He's Jam Master Jay, the big beat blaster. He gets better because he knows he has to. In 84, he'll be a little faster, and only practice makes a real Jam Master.
On TV tonight, CBS has a new episode of Big Brother, Celebrity Edition, and Higgins' former MI6 teammate arrives injured with news that the person who murdered her true love is on Oahu on Magnum PI and Bull.
ABC has a new The Bachelor and Good Doctor.
NBC, The Champions, three new America's Got Talent. When Cal disappears from his bedroom, Grace and Ben's investigation leads him to a remote New York mountains, and that's on a new Manifest.
Gotta put more commas in things. Fox has a new episode of The Resident, and You Owe Me a Unicorn on The Passage.
On the CW, my name is Emiko Queen, yeah, on the new Arrow and Black Lightning.
Freeform is showing Maleficent.
AMC has The Breakfast Club.
A&E has a movie very similar to that, The Mummy.
Of course. FX is showing The Martian.
FXX Simpsons, it's Left Behind, Throw Grandpa from the Dane, and oh look, season one, Bart the General.
FXM has The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Does anybody remember what that one was about?
Nope.
Jamie Foxx is in the first one.
Sure.
Someone was in the second one. Nickelodeon has Bixler High, Private Eye. It rhymes, it's a TV movie, you enjoy it.
Sure. BBC America is showing From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, and Dr. No.
But not with Steve Reeves.
Right.
No. Paramount is showing Expendables 2 and 3.
Sci-Fi has Jurassic Park 3.
Alan! TNT is showing Basketball. They're showing Basketball. I'm the only one that wants to do that, ever? All right,
this
fine.
Time. This time. On Science, a new How the Universe Works.
USA, it's a new WWE Monday Night Raw. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel, because when an author discovers her first novel is not selling as well as she hoped, her publisher decides to send on a book tour with a handsome writer to boost her sales. But the plan changes after a romance is sparked. Jen Lilly and Kevin McGarry star in Winter Love Story. Winter.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Xander jumps into bed with a surprising partner. Hopefully not a surprised partner, because no one needs that, not even Sarah. Meanwhile, Leo wakes up alone and sad. Victor makes Brady an offer he can't refuse. You want to be CEO of Titan? Yeah, you know me. Gabby asks Kate for a favor. And Kate smiles, knowing that means she got her hooks into someone else's drama again. Eric makes a stunning discovery. A Chinese takeout box unfolds to make a plate. Oh, and Xander made a delivery to Sarah. Hashtag Chevy. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed we do. Hey, GRD. Longtime listener and hopefully first-time contest winner.
What?
I think your blooper you mentioned on Friday's show is The Outer Limits. You spoke of the episode of The Pro being the last one and airing on the 18th. Well, that episode actually aired on January 16th.
What?
And I know this because I used to spend many a lunch break over at We Are Controlling Transmissions, where Paul and John would discuss the series. In the comment section, someone once said, how appropriate. The last episode was on Nothing Day, and nothing came after The Probe, which is also how I learned that January 16th is National Nothing Day. You should add that to your list. Did I win? That is from James. Well, James, I was very, very vague as to what the contest was and about something that happened. I guess at this point I'm going to wait because I think maybe you've got a piece of it. But I think it's a little more involved than that because I know me and I'm complicated. If you think you know the complicated, or if we should just have James win since he's the first one to figure something out. And
right.
National Nothing Day. How do we not know? Anyway, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
What do you get somebody for Nothing Day?
Nothing.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist.
Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
popping up. Little history doll popping up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Hi, this is Sean Marr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. I don't know why.
Oh, of course you do. We talked
about
it. Right? Good times. Good times. Hey, welcome back to it. Let's see what you did done do.
So this week's 10, last week's 8, on the basis of sex, made $3.9 million. It's made almost $17 million in 4 weeks.
This week's 9, last week's 7, Bumblebee, $4.6 million, 115 in 5 weeks on a 135 budget.
This week's 8, last week's 6, Mary Poppins Returns. I still really want to see this. $5.2 million. It's made $159 million in 5 weeks.
This week's 7, last week's 5, Escape Room has made another $5.2 million, which means grand total, it's made $40 million in 3 weeks on a $9 million budget. The Escapier Room is coming.
This week's 6, last week's 3, A Dog's Way Home made $7.1 million. It's made $21 million on an 18 budget in 2 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 4, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
So
oh my God, yes. $7.2 million, 158 in 6 weeks on a $90 million budget.
This week's 4, last week's 2, Aquaman made another $10 million. A little more than that, it's made like $304 million just US in 5 weeks.
This week's 3 is brand new, Dragon Ball Super Broly, which is a BronyCon thing. $10.6 million. It's made $21 million in 1 week because it opened earlier in the week and there's
right.
no budget, so who knows?
Sure. This week's 2, last week's 1, The Upside, made another $15.6 million. It's made $43.9 in 2 weeks.
And the number one movie in America is Glass.
Oh, I still want to see this.
$40.5 million and a $20 million budget. We're already going to kick some more glass.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News. Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Shudder TV is doing something that should have been done decades ago.
Have commercials all be at the same audio level and not blaring?
Sadly, no. Someone should do that. Tech folks, get on it! Shudder is making a Creepshow TV series.
Hosted by who? The Creep Keeper?
Stephen King is involved in developing the series together with his son Joe Hill and Walking Dead makeup wizard and episode director Greg Nicotero. King produced and appeared as an actor in the original Creepshow movie in 82, playing Jody Verrill, a lonely man who becomes infected with a bizarre alien virus.
I hate when that happens.
After touching a meteor. It was directed by George Romero, it was inspired by the EC and DC horror comics of the 50s, and has become a horror classic. So the new thing, Nicotero, King and Company, it's going to be an anthology series, sort of like Tales from the Crypt.
So more cheesy horror fun.
Sure, but they're all going for it. They got plans to adapt the classic King story survivor type for one of the 6 episodes. Originally published in 82's Terrors anthology and most famously in Skeleton Crew, this is the one where a surgeon crashes on a plane and turns out the only way he can start to survive is to cut off parts of himself and just eat himself.
Nailed it.
Nicotero said in an interview at NYCC that the show's tone will vary from episode to episode, some being funny, some being flat out horrific.
Yeah, like that.
Said episodes will also be fluid in terms of length, which gives writers and directors more freedom to enjoy their stories the way they want to and give them plenty of time to figure out, where's my cake?
Oh, well, since you like revivals, this should please you.
They're going to remake Darkroom as well?
No, but if you're a fan of 80s TV and at some point you had to have partook in the variety of shows that tried to solve real life mysteries.
They've already remade In Search Of. We talked about it.
That was the 70s, and I'm talking Unsolved Mysteries. The revival's heading to Netflix and will come courtesy of Stranger Things executive producer Sean Levy and his 21 Laps Entertainment banner, which has had a deal with the streaming service. Levy will reportedly be overseeing this revamp with the original show's creator John Cosgrove and Terry Dunn Moyer. Just like its predecessor, it'll feature a mix of reenactments and documentary format covering the same breadth of content as the original. However, unlike the original, which featured a few cases per episode, this one will just have one large mystery per episode.
And sadly will not have the dulcet tones of Robert Stack.
Yeah, so no word on the host, and yes, it will be tough to replace Robert Stack. They need somebody engaging with a sense of drama.
So, me?
I said engaging.
Fair enough. Robocalls.
No, the original was great. The sequel, meh. And the remake was poo.
No, Robocalls.
Oh.
Robocalls. They're a major hassle for smartphones worldwide. Yes. And Verizon is going to be doing something about spam protection efforts. They're going to roll out a free anti-robocall tool for all customers this spring. In March, the call blocking and spam alerting tools will be available for Verizon wireless customers with compatible Android and iPhone devices. StarTech people, go to hell. They haven't provided a launch date for them exactly, so these tools will notify you of a potentially dangerous robocall on your smartphone with quick notifications on their screens. And they'll feature call authentication technology that will analyze incoming calls and messages that might be mobile spam.
But they say it's a very important call.
As of 5 minutes ago, Verizon had identified almost 300 million numbers that are connected with robocalling and spamming.
But they promised a free cruise.
And they lied. So I am glad the commercials will be, I can't hear you now.
Well, since not enough people follow the guidelines of, like, the don't be that guy panel, some people have decided to point out who that guy is at conventions.
Add it to their name tags. Brilliant!
Actually, a spreadsheet containing a name of alleged abusers and harassers who attend U.S. anime conventions is making its way around social media as part of a small Me Too movement in the niche community. After days-long social media discussion among U.S. convention goers, naming alleged harassers who are accused of anything from preying on minors to taking upskirt pictures of cosplayers. I mean, this is disgusting. One online activist drew up a public spreadsheet that collected people's allegations of misconduct.
Okay, I already hear the men's rights people complaining, so please tell me it's not the name of every single guy going to the convention.
No, as of 10 minutes ago, it only had like 34 names, and at any point, dozens of people may be looking at it, you know. We're not going to link to the spreadsheet, and of course, we can't verify the claims in it. You can only tell you what the keeper of the list, the moderator, has to say. So, he says he's not interested in punishing these people. Conventions can punish, or law enforcement can punish. They can look into it. I'm not here to punish. I'm here to equip people who are likely to be victimized to arm themselves and be suspicious because fear keeps us safe in these situations. The spreadsheet follows a format. It's not the first time this has ever happened. There was a crowdsourced Google spreadsheet titled Shitty Media Men, which went viral in 2017. Moira Donegan was an assistant at the New Republic and participated in this ongoing like whisper network amongst journalists and researchers and critics, public figures, keeping a record of, you know, who's allegedly harassed who. And, you know, there's different people named on the list. Former editor-in-chief and founder of The Rumpus, Stephen Elliott. But he filed a $1.5 million defamation suit against Donegan.
Oops.
So, yikes. I mean, at the top of the spreadsheet, it says, disclaimer, this document is only a collection of misconduct allegations. Please use it to spot red flags and reduce victimization. It's not for vigilantism.
So, how does this get updated? How do you get on the list?
Well, individuals with allegations of sexual misconduct against cosplay photographers, convention chairs, panelists, or even regular attendees are sharing them with the moderator, and the results populate a private spreadsheet which the moderator reviews before posting on the public spreadsheet. So there's not a threshold for who is included. Someone with one against them might find their name on it. About a third of the names on the list have multiple allegations against them. And I think, like, you know, you turn it into a convention, and on one hand, this kind of makes sense, right? Like, you report somebody's misconduct, but that they don't know if it's an issue at just that convention or if it's at other conventions.
Sure.
And then you start to see, wait a minute, this person has like had six violations against them or something like that. It's not a bad idea in theory. Of course, it's immensely controversial, though, even among anime fans calling out alleged abusers on Twitter and other social media. It's a good idea here. I mean, it's not that bad to have everything documented, but just like all of these things, right? People act bad. So here's a better idea. Everybody just don't be a dick.
It's so hard to do sometimes. And now in some sad news, but not as sad as it normally is when I say that. One of the most legendary creators in the business is officially going to put his pens away. In an open letter, comics legend George Perez, noted writer and artist who worked on the new Teen Titans, Crisis on Infinite Earths with Marv Wolfman, ton of projects for DC and Marvel. I mean, his Wonder Woman is like kind of the standard, has announced his retirement from comics and most published art. Quote, in recent months, there's been a great deal of speculation as to the future of my career, my health, my ability to draw, and my future convention appearances. As a result, I would like to clear up everything firsthand so any rumors and speculation can be laid to rest. With respect to future published work in comics and such, while I know it's been no secret, I've been dealing with a myriad of health issues, diabetes, heart ailments, vision. They have indeed forced me to, for all intents and purposes, formally retire. He went on to say that because of eye strain, private commissions are going to have to stop as well. And with a small amount of sketches prearranged at conventions, that's not going to be much longer. He says that this year, 2019, is his last touring of the convention circuit as well. So if you get the chance, see George. He is an incredibly cool guy. He loves his fans. He is a delight to see. And thank you for all the memories, George. I, for one, and I know most of us, all of us, totally appreciate it. people once, like John Byrne or somebody, described him as he draws comics the way they're supposed to be drawn. That's a GOD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And I don't know if anything is in the feed. I forgot to ask PRS. I'm sure there's something. Go check. Go look at the, you know, all the various places
and
the
YouTube
things. There's stuff, and you can drop us a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Remember, there's still sort of a contest going on. Or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
Solve it, gumshoes.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
What the hell are you still doing here?
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun? Mm-mm. Nope.
A young man, his whole life in front of him disappears. A familiar story, yes, but this is no ordinary Joe. Joseph R. Cooper, perhaps the most loved sports figure in the country, vanished. According to Mrs. Elsie Melcher, a neighbor who asked not to be identified, Joe Cooper left his house 2 weeks ago. According to Angelique Bones, a nosy bitch who lives up the street, he took with him only a toothbrush, a wallet, a steamer trunk, and a plane ticket to Calcutta. Police theorized several possible scenarios of what happened with a man affectionately known to the world as Coop.
Well, I don't know where the hell he is. For all I care, he could be hanging by his neck in his f***ing closet.
Scenario number one. He's hanging by his neck in his f***ing closet. The night before his disappearance, Coop's girlfriend had paid him a visit. According to friends, they had quarreled.
If you're looking for Joe Cooper, I suggest you look wherever you find the most heinous, blatant, and vile exploitation of children on the planet.
Scenario number two. Coop went to Disney World.